Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. And we're taking the motto text for 2006, and the motto that we want to take is verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Now, with our Bibles open before us, can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our loving God and our Father, we come to Thee and we thank Thee for the fact that as we stand at the portal of the opening year, that we have a Saviour who is there and who never changes and will meet us at the point of our need. We'd ask Thee that as we come to open up Thy Word, now that Thou wouldst give us the unction and the power and the liberty to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ and the things of God. Give us a heart to pray, a heart to seek Thy face, a heart, our God, that is drawn right into the very presence of our God. And we'd ask Thee that Thou wouldst give us the unction and the power and the liberty to speak as a dying man to dying men and women. Bless and be with us, we pray, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. When I began to think about a motto text for 2006, my mind was brought and led to this text of Scripture and to the theme of prayer. We know the well-known saying of C.H. Spurgeon when he labelled the prayer meeting the powerhouse of the church. And that is something that is underlined by this text of Scripture, where Paul says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And he asked the people to pray for him, for an open door and for utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And that really is the explanation, or a large part of the explanation, of the power and the might of the Apostle Paul. He was a man who was backed by prayer, and he was a mighty man of prayer. You think of this man as he went about pulling down the strongholds of Satan and seeing churches established and precious souls saved. And we wonder what it was that kept him going, what it was that made him brave the seas and the shipwrecks and the beatings and the stonings that he endured for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many another person would have given up long before the Apostle Paul did. Indeed, he went and laid down his life for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't stop until his life was taken from him because he preached the message of the gospel. And you think of him going into pagan towns. You think of him when he went into Athens, and the place was coming down with idols and altars to false gods. And indeed they had an altar to the unknown God. But Paul went in there and went right into the midst of the lion's den, as it were, and spoke to the philosophers on the Areopagus Hill and preached Christ and the resurrection. And we're told that souls were saved. Indeed, there were those from among the philosophers themselves that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or think of the city of Ephesus, a city that was given over to idolatry as well. But when you read in Acts chapter 19 and verses 9 and 10, how Paul separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. We're told later that as a result of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And this man spread the message of the gospel throughout Asia, across into different lands. He went through Asia Minor, into Greece, right down into Rome itself, preaching the message of the gospel, seeing revival and reformation and a transformation that took place. What is the explanation of a man like the Apostle Paul? Well, one of the explanations has got to be that he knew the power and the strength of prayer behind him. And you can see that as he asks the people to pray for him. He knows that he can't go on. He can't advance. He can't see any more work done unless the people join in behind him and pray that the work of God might see progress. And that's what we're looking for in this new year. We're looking for progress. We're looking for advance. We're looking to see precious souls brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we want you, if you're not saved, to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We want to see the land turn back to righteousness. We want to see God break in reformation and revival. How will we get it? We will only get it if we seek the face of God in prayer. Now, God is sovereign in all things, but when God wants to move, he always sets his people to prayer. And so it is appropriate, I think, that we should take this to heart, that we continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. Let's be instant in the private place of prayer. Let's be instant in the prayer meeting. Let's see an increase in the prayer meetings. Let's see an increase in our desire to pray in this year. If this can be our motto text, then indeed it will be a year of blessing. So let's look at what Paul exhorts the people to do here. And there are a number of things in this text that I want you to see about the place of prayer. And the first thing that we notice is that we are to persevere in prayer. The text says here, continue in prayer. And the word continue there is a word that has been translated persevere. It is to do something continually is the meaning of it. It means literally, actually, to lay hold of something. It's made up of Greek words which mean to lay hold of something and don't let it go. So that's what we need to do with the place of prayer and with our prayer lives. We have to lay hold upon prayer and not let it go. The way that sometimes in the tabernacle we read of the people coming in and laying hold upon the horns of the altar. And they were saying, as it were, to God, I will not let you go except you bless me, like old Jacob did. The great preacher, Robert Murray McShane, once said, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. You know, that's a challenge to us. If we were defined by what we are on our knees, I wonder how big we would be. I wonder how great we would be. Andrew Murray, another old saint of God, said, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. And we think of all the things that we can do, but men and women, the first thing that we need to do is get on our knees to pray. Charles Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And C.H. Spurgeon believed in preaching. But he said, I'd rather have 10 men to teach 10 men to pray than one man to preach. Or one man to pray than 10 men to preach, rather. And we need to really get hold upon the Lord. Paul says, continue in prayer. And we think of the character of prayer. We need to really pray. But what is prayer? Well, old D.L. Moody once was in Scotland, and he went into a classroom, a primary school, in the 1800s. And he was beginning to ask the question, the class a number of questions. And he was beginning to speak about prayer. And he said to the class, what is prayer? And to his surprise, a whole forest of hands went up. So he pointed to one little boy and he said to him, what is prayer then? And he promptly answered, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of his Spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Does anybody know where he got that from? It's from the Westminster Larger Catechism, number 178. D.L. Moody said, be thankful, son, that you're ever born in Scotland. And you know, that is what prayer is. It is an offering up of our desires to God. It is bringing our needs to God, because God is mighty. And you know, when you bring your needs to God, you know what you're doing? You're acknowledging your own inability. You're saying to God, I can't do it. I can't see this done. I can't achieve this. There's nothing that I can do. You know, we the more we go on in the work of God and the more we advance in our Christian life, the more we are brought to know that there is nothing that we can do that the Lord does not do for us. You know, in the early days when we were young in the faith, many of us, we thought that we could see great things done if we had a mission here, if we had a special meeting there, that people would be bound to come in and the Word of God would speak. But unless God moves, salvation is of the Lord. And we can pay lip service to that, but we need to really believe it. And we get down on our knees before God and we're saying, Lord, we cannot. We cannot. There's no way that we can advance. But while we're saying we cannot, we're saying to God, you can. We are acknowledging our own inability, but we are acknowledging God's capability. For God is still on the throne. God is the mighty God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know what is wrong today? We have an unbelief about prayer. If God's people really believed in prayer, the prayer meetings would be filled. And yet, the prayer meetings are not filled, and it's sadly because we do not believe in prayer. But you look back across the year that has gone into eternity and see the many answers to prayer and thank God for the way that He has blessed and the many things that He has done. We've mentioned there about Axel Smith being set free, and we have so many other things that we can thank God for in the past year for all His blessings. And you just think of how many times God has answered prayer. You know, there's an old Welsh preacher by the name of J.B. Jones, and he was known as a great man of prayer. And one time he came into a Welsh village and he was having some meetings. But while he was there, there came a circus to town, and the circus owner announced that he was going to have a show on the Lord's Day. And old J.B. Jones got up in the church and he didn't say much about it, but he said that this circus was going to take place on the Lord's Day. He says, I'm just going to bring that matter to the Lord. And that's all he said. He didn't say anything more. But he wasn't home that long until a knock came on the door, and was the circus owner. And he said to the preacher, he said, I've called off the show on the Lord's Day. He says, please don't pray about it. Please don't bring it to the Lord in prayer. And the old preacher said, well, why is that? He says, because I have seen what God does to other people that you have prayed about. And that old man there, he wasn't a Christian, but he knew the power of prayer. And would to God that the world afresh would know the power of the prayers of God's people. And God hasn't changed. God has not changed. God is still the God who answered the prayers of J.B. Jones, and answered the prayers of Mueller, George Mueller, answered the prayers of Martin Luther, answered the prayers of Praying Hyde. He is still the same God today. And we thank God that we can bring all our needs to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. But not only do we see the character of prayer, but notice the constancy of prayer here. We're not to give up. We're not only to pray, but we're to continue in prayer. We're not to be downhearted or discouraged. How the old devil would want to get us discouraged, and he would want us to give up on the blessing. But the Lord wants us to keep on praying and to seek His face with all of our hearts. And God really blesses that. How do I know? Well, you look at the early church, the early New Testament church, that is, in the days of the book of Acts. If you turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we read about the people there in the before the day of Pentecost, and it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brethren. And this was before they experienced the outpouring of God's blessing. What were they doing? Continuing in prayer. And they didn't give up. And later on they saw 3,000 souls saved. And why? And how did it happen? When did it happen? When God's people were continuing in the place of prayer. And then when God blessed, they continued praying. Well, if you turn to the Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, when the people were saved, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So before Pentecost, they were praying. And then when God blessed, they continued praying. They didn't give up in the place of prayer. And we need to be persevering and to be constant and to be to lay hold upon God and seek His face in this incoming year. Oh, that God might give us the burden to prayer, to pray. But not only is there perseverance in prayer, but I want you to see that there is preparation in prayer. Now, preparation, I mean in the sense of being prepared for action or alert or watchful, because it says continue in prayer and watch in the same. Now, Paul here speaks about the weapon of watchfulness. And when we pray, we need to be on the alert. We need to be on the watch. We need to be prepared for the onslaughts of the enemy who will come in. And of course, that is something that is very vital. C.H. Spurgeon, in commenting upon this portion of Scripture, says that really what Paul is doing here is commenting on the event that took place when God used Moses to pray. Remember the time when the children of Israel went out against Amalek and Moses went up on the mountain to pray. And we're told that when Moses held up his arms to pray, that Israel prevailed. But when he let down and became weary, when he let down his arms in the place of prayer, Amalek prevailed. And then we read that Aaron and Hur went along and held up the arms of Moses in prayer so that that Israel might prevail. And we know that the name Aaron means watching, and the name Hur means thankfulness. So watching and thankfulness were the two things that held up the arms of prayer. And it's interesting to notice how often watchfulness is mentioned along with prayer. Because the word watch there is a word that refers to the sentry who watches the walls so that nothing comes in, so that the enemy doesn't come in and overthrow the city. And we have to be watchful against the enemy, because the enemy of the flesh and the enemy of the devil wants to stop us in the place of prayer. Samuel Chadwick, an old time preacher, once said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep the Christian from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." The old saying is, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And there's one thing that the devil will want to stop us doing this year, and that is to pray. And we need to watch. We need to be on sentry duty so that the old devil doesn't stop us praying. How will he try to stop us? He'll try to stop us by bringing in sleep. Isn't it amazing the way that you so often become sleepy when it comes to the time of prayer? We think of the old disciples when the Lord Jesus was in Gethsemane. And he came out and he found the disciples sleeping. And he said to them in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I want to tell you that when we come to pray, and I don't need to tell you this, if you have any experience in the place of prayer at all, I don't need to tell you that when it comes to the place of prayer, the flesh is weak. The flesh will rebel, and the flesh will do anything to stop you getting to the place of prayer. That's why you need to fight. That's why you need to fight on an evening or in the morning when you have your time of prayer, or in the prayer meeting night. You need to fight against the sleepiness and against the tiredness and the exhaustion, because the devil will seek to get you tired in every way that he can. And it's one of the greatest weapons that he has. Not only is there that weapon, but there's the weapon of distracting thoughts. He will get every thought that come into your mind and into your heart, and he will try to distract you in every way about the things of tomorrow, the things of next week, or the things that you have to do. But no, we are to continue in prayer and we're to watch. We're to watch. You know, we think of old Elijah and he sent the servant up the hill. As he prayed, the disciple or his servant Gehazi had to watch. He had to go and to see what was taking place. And you know, he could have given up. And I'm sure after about the fourth or the fifth or the sixth time, he might have given up on the watching. But he was watching for God's blessing. He was watching for God to send the answer. And we not only need to watch for the enemy, but we need to watch for the answers to prayer as well, because God will send mighty encouragements and God will send us mighty answers to prayer, because He is the God who hears and answers prayer. So there is to be persistence in our praying and preparation in our praying, in the sense of being prepared against the enemy. But then there's also to be praise in our prayer. Look at what it says: continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And how important it is to thank God. Thank God that He will answer. We can thank God in advance because He will answer. We look down through the corridor of this year and we can see that God has answered in the year that has gone into eternity, and we thank Him for that. But how we need to be a thankful people as we come to the Lord in the place of prayer. You know, as we look through this epistle, we see the many times when Paul was thankful to God. He turned back to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So there you have prayer and thanksgiving. Go down to verse 12 of the same chapter. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And you go through the epistle, that's not the only references. There are a number of references to Paul being thankful. Remember what he wrote to the Philippians? And he wrote, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And when we come to God, let us praise Him. Let us praise Him. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise, for He has saved us and washed us in His own precious blood. And you know, when we come to God, not only is there the thought of this bringing our request to God, but we come into the presence of One who is great and mighty. And the greatest incentive that we could have for the place of prayer is that we come into the presence of our God, the One who has saved us and washed us in His own precious blood. And men, women, those of you that are saved, surely you have a desire to come into the Lord's presence. Surely you have a desire to thank Him for the many things that He has done and for the great things He is going to do in a day to come. He will bring us through to glory. He will bring us to the courts of the blessed. He will bring us into those mansions that He has gone to prepare for us. And surely there should be that note of praise as we enter into this new year and we can thank Him for the blessings to come. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And oh, I was reading on the internet this week just an account of the way that God really does answer prayer. And was the story of a lady called Esther Hill and some West Virginia Baptists in the United States. And in the mid-1980s, God gave Esther Hill a burden to pray passionately for the people of Mongolia. Even though she was told at the time that the possibility and the probability was that there were probably only about 3 or 4 Christians in the whole of Mongolia. But she had a burden to pray, and she got some of her friends together and they began to pray for Mongolia. And as late as 1990, the state of Mongolia, the land of Mongolia, had still no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There had been no preaching of the word. But in the last number of years, there was an opening up. And 7 years after they started praying,
the land of Mongolia started to open up, and today a conservative estimate is that there are 10,000 Mongolian believers, and that is a conservative estimate. There's said to be 60 congregations formed in Mongolia. And God did answer prayer. Even though it seemed as if there was no hope, there are only 3 or 4 Christians, now there are at least 10,000. Why? Because God answered prayer. And now that group of Christians there in West Virginia, they have set their sights on Tantric Buddhist state of Bhutan. And it was a land that is, and is a land that is completely closed to the gospel. But you know, of late, there have been reports that have begun to come through that the government in Bhutan has become worried by those who are converting to Christianity. Because God is answering prayer. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. God can save your loved ones. God can change this town and district. God can do a mighty thing, more than we can ever think. And oh, that we might enter into the place of prayer and pray with all our hearts that God will save souls and bless and build us up in the things of God. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just unite together at the throne of grace and prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We bless Thee for the place of prayer, where we can gather together, where we can meet with Thee. And we thank Thee that God does answer prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou art doing across the world, in Mongolia, in Bhutan, in China. And our God, we remember the continent of Europe. And our God, we realize that this is a continent in many ways is turning from God, turning away from the things of God. But, O God, we'd ask Thee that Thou would sweep in, Lord, that Thou wouldst turn the tide, and across our land and across our nation, there might be a great and mighty revival. Bless and help us. O God, we look to Thee. Give us a burden to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen.